But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It is projected. Can we all read together at the count of 2, 1, 2, go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I allow you, just by yourself, as loud as you can, let it resonate with your subconscious. Quickly, 1, 2, go. I want to show you a few things that will help us establish the coordinates for the flight we will take in the spirit tonight. The Bible said in Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the foundation, the inspiration, and the finisher, the end, the zenith, the completion. So Jesus is the author, is the beginner. Jesus is the ending, is the finisher. He is the completion of our faith. So what part do we have in this matter? You have to probe the scripture to see what they left for you inside the scripture. Look up to Jesus, the author, Jesus, the finisher, Jesus of our faith. So the only role in this matter, the only thing you came to the table with is faith. Faith. The person who would perform it is God. The person who would confirm his word is God. The only thing allotted to you to bring into this particular equation is faith. Faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, they went back to him. The only thing they gave you a role to play in that matter is come with faith. Come with faith. I'll show you the reason why these things are important for us to consider tonight. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, I will prefer the NIV. It will give us better appreciation for what is being communicated. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, in the King James, okay, let's go the NIV quickly. The Bible speaking in Matthew 17, verse 20, it says, he replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Can we all read together? Everybody, 1, 2, go. We began by examining the only demand God places on us is to come by faith. And we began to see that the arena of faith is where God wants to meet with man. Every promise and every supernatural experience God has in store for man, it will come into fruition in the arena of faith. It is in faith that we engage God. It is also in the arena of faith that we bring God into the scene. This is why consistently in scriptures and replete across several verses, you will continue to see this emphasis. Jesus now emphasizing that faith, if you can even harness it in a quantity that is as small as a mustard seed, These are metaphors being used to communicate the efficacy of faith. That even if your faith is little, but if you can have faith, that you can say unto this mountain. A mountain in that context means an impossible situation. You can shift systems. You can alter narrative. You can turn the tide. If you even have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say. So Jesus was not only showing us that it is in the arena of faith that God expects us to engage him. He was showing us that even if the faith we have is a little, we can move mountains. When we look at this matter carefully tonight, you will tell the difference between boldness and faith. The difference between positive confession and faith. The difference between excitement and faith. Most of the things we do, we make positive confession. It is not built on any revelatory position. So the idea behind it is to say it in the heat and the emotion of the moment. As you are excited, you too can join everybody to say, I cannot fail. It is easy to say that. What Satan probes eventually is, on what foundation did you make this utterance? What is the basis of this thing you have spoken? Even your utterance will be tested. You see, when the winds and the waves come, it is only those who belt on the solid rock. They are the ones that will remain impregnable. If you have your confidence in any other thing outside the word of God, I'll be showing you tonight that actually faith is not blind belief. Faith is informed. There is a foundation faith is built upon. Faith is not just confidence. Faith is a knowledge. There is a knowledge that sponsored that assurance. It came from a place where you have had a lot of conviction based on something you know. We take a few more scriptures as God helps us to make progress tonight. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, if we can take the NLT for the sake of emphasis, if we can take the NLT, it will go a long way. I'm going this route tonight because I want to establish that we were not born having faith. Considering the fall that has shaped every one of us that happened to our ancestor Adam, faith was not our natural arena. Every one of us was born in the arena of fear. It is fear that is the natural disposition of the carnal man. So each and every one of us, if we will walk in faith, we will need to subscribe to another economy. I'll be showing us at the course of this teaching the way to build faith. Biblical faith is built. You can grow in faith. You can start from a place of unbelief and grow in faith. It is until faith is developed that you declare according to that which you believe. If you speak before you believe, what you are actually doing is positive confession. It is actually your belief that should actually sponsor an utterance. That state of your heart should eventually become an utterance, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will now speak. Your confession should be a reflection of the things you have believed, the things that have shaped your conviction. Let's look at the scripture briefly and trust the Lord for direction. Luke 17, verse 5. Because of the things I'm sharing with us, you will hear the disciples of Jesus making a very strange request, asking the master. Time and time again, you will hear Jesus diagnose the challenge they have as, O ye of little faith. Sometimes he will look at them and say, have you no faith? In other words, in the face of a challenge, a predicament that has frustrated them, Jesus did not identify Satan as the reason why they are in this distress. He did not identify wickedness of the kingdom of darkness as the reason why they are facing this resistance. He identified their faith as their challenge. And the disciples, having heard this submission of Jesus over and over and over again, they came to a point where their request is, Master, increase our faith. Can you help us boost our faith? This thing you are talking about that we don't have, can you help us rise in faith? Please whisper to somebody by your side. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Maybe say it to the next person. Ask the Lord. to increase your faith. You know, the reason why we go this route is because there are many things we think we believe God for. But when the turbulence and the challenges of life come, it becomes obvious to us that we really did not believe. A few years ago, we were traveling. I, Pastor Onu, Pastor Lucky, and I think we were going somewhere around one of these northern states. And as we were journeying, with so much passion, scriptures was bubbling in our hearts. The next thing we heard is gunshot. Bah! Before we turned, we started hearing sounds of gunshots everywhere. It was kidnappers that launched out of the bush. We who were speaking in tongues just now, that were joining like Colossus, want to go and collide with princes in another region. I didn't know when the door of the car opened. Everybody vanished. Helter skelter, all directions. Have you attempted to run in a forest before? You don't know where you are going to. The only thing is that don't stop running. That was when I knew that this collected posture, you see, Pastor Onu sustained. He took off. I looked for Pastor Lucky. He would think he cannot run, but he was missing. I said, you know, it will be easy. It will be very easy to sit down and make mouth and say, I believe God. It is in crisis that you really know. You see this same thing I'm talking about? It will happen to a man who has been established in faith. His first response will be the deposit of scripture that he has sustained. I have been in a flight and turbulence started. When you enter turbulence in a plane, it will look like you are going inside potholes. You start hearing people, Jesus, Jesus. Suddenly, ladies who wore skimpy garments, what you would call underwear, and were once flaunting the merchandise of corruption. I started seeing them doing like this. Then just be watching. It became very fast. I knew that, look at this one. Whisper to somebody, increase my faith, oh God. The disciples knew that if faith will increase, there's only one person that can increase it. And they went to him, increase our faith. You know how he increases faith? He brings you into another knowledge of something about his character. It is the revelation of the character of God that molds faith in the believer. You just know that God cannot lie. Now, you can say it, but you don't know it. That's how complex spiritual things are. You can say God cannot lie. It can be a word that you actually declare, a set of words you spoke with your mouth, but it is not in your spirit. Increase our faith. In other words, for us not to be in this kind of situation of shame again, for us not to be put in a situation of ridicule like this again, for us not to be helpless again, increase our faith. They didn't ask for power. They say, give us more faith. Jesus says, if you even have this thing called faith that we are talking about, as little as a mustard seed, you can shift mountains. What is that thing standing as a stumbling block? What is that thing undermining your effort? What is that thing that everybody has concluded that it is impossible? If you have faith, that's the way forward. If you have faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can say, because faith is a speaking spirit. If faith is there, you must catch yourself saying. If you have faith, you can say. If you have faith, you can say. There is nobody that has faith that is not talking something. Faith is always confessing. Faith is always declaring. Faith is always decreeing. Faith is always speaking. The reason why your mouth is quiet, there's no faith. And it is better you respect yourself. Since there's no faith, be quiet. Can we bow our head for 1 minute? Internalize this petition of the disciples. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Show me something about you. will establish rest in my soul. Give me access to something about your nature, something about your character that will put all the doubt aside. Tonight I come open. Let the light of your glorious presence flood my soul until you become my only obsession, until you become my only view, until my only conviction becomes you. Those who know you will trust in you, not in horses or chariots. By the arm of flesh, no man can prevail. My confidence is you. You do not fail. It doesn't exist. Listen, it's not a song. Before you say he cannot lie, he cannot fail, you must know something called the knowledge of the Holy One. Those who know you, by default, they trust in you. If they don't trust in you, it's because they don't know you. Those who know you, the people that don't know their God, they will be strong. That strong there is the capacity to resist adversity. They can stand. When other people collide, when other people have collapsed because of all forms of resistance, those who know their God. So if you tell the Lord, increase my faith, what you are asking him for is, show me something about you that I don't know. Allow my heart to be flooded with the light of your might. Let me see something. Ancient one, show me things you have hidden for the age to come. There I may not be laboring like a fool. There I may not be laboring like a fool. The labor of fools, it wearies them. The labor of fools. Show me things you have hidden. Show me things you have hidden from the eyes of pride. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. The operating space, the arena of manifestation, the atmosphere of the just is called faith. Maybe we read together. I want convictions to be built in your spirit as loud as we can. Everybody, 1, 2, go. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just. Do it one more time as loud as you can. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 and in verse 6. It means you can be just. And what makes you just is that righteousness has been imputed into you. And because of that stature that you have received as a gift from God, you are justified. Now, this person who is just in the eye of God, the only place God puts his advantage is in the arena of faith. The title of my discourse tonight is the pathway of faith. Faith. If Jesus tarries, I will show you the operations of faith. I will show you the operations of hope. I will show you the operations of love. And I will show you where the believer is most assured, the most excellent place for the believer. You can journey the pathway of faith, and that is the platform of your interaction with God throughout your life. It's on the strength of what you know He can do, and you will have results. You can go by hope, and your whole life is shaped actually by convictions. Convictions that you cannot authenticate, you cannot prove. You can go by love. There are different ways we engage, but even scriptures have recommended that the greatest among them is love. Tonight I want to dwell on faith, and I want to show you the things and the dividends and the collisions, the advantages that are laid up for us on that pathway of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Everybody, let's read together at the count of two. One, two, go. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Say it as loud as you can, without faith. Come on, say it as loud as you can, without faith. It is impossible to please God. Say, I want to please God. I will walk by faith. It means the only place God wants to meet with you is in the arena of faith. It is in faith that God derives joy from His children. Actually, scripture says Abraham believed God. He believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Every time we walk by faith, it pleases the Lord. Every time our perception, our convictions about a matter is not shaped by our five senses anymore, but by the revelation of God we have sustained. Many a man actually walk by their senses. They walk by what they see. They walk by what they hear. They walk by sight. But we live by faith and not by sight. We are not moved by what we see. If you follow the things you are seeing, your natural aura around you and the area you will find that you are most conscious is fear. Because everything that your eye will pick as a feedback, most of the time is discouragement. You put on the news, is bad news that makes the news most of the times. When good things happen, they are hardly broadcasted. You go out, there are all forms of occurrence hitting your heart to remind you that the world is hopeless. If your convictions are built on the things you are seeing and the things you are hearing, you are most likely going to fall into that arena of fear. And fear is to Satan what faith is to God. Fear is an arena of operation for demonic energies. If you see any man inside fear, there is no spirit of demonic descent that cannot capitalize on that atmosphere of fear that has enveloped him. From sickness to all forms of affliction, as long as fear itself is like a prophet. It is like a prophet that opens the door for all other forms of hostile spirits. That is how the arena of operation for God also is faith. And if you are not walking by faith, there is no in between. You are actually walking by fear. Nobody can stand in a midpoint that say, I am not afraid, but I also can't say I'm walking by faith. If you are not operating by faith, by default, what powers your operation is fear. You'll be amazed. Even our relationship with God, many people's relationship is powered by fear. People came to church this night because of fear. Somebody had a bad dream last night, and he saw a face in an obituary that resembled his own. He has not gone to church for 3 months, but today he went to church. The reason why he is in the presence of God is not that he loves God. It's because there is something in him that is reminding him that danger is knocking at the door. And so he is trying to be quick to find way to the place where help can come. What is motivating his engagement now with God is fear. Many believers don't even know how to tell the difference. There are people whose commitment to God is on the basis of fear. There is the fear of the unknown, the fear of the future. They don't want to fail. And so they need to stay close to God because they heard that it's God that knows tomorrow. And since God knows tomorrow and me, I don't know it, let me hold that God. The reason why you are following Him is not, are we together? There is something that happens when your platform in engaging God becomes faith. Faith puts you in a zone. It's a place of rest. People can most likely misunderstand faith as carelessness. They can misunderstand faith as irresponsibility. Why don't you look worried? The reason why you are not perturbed is because of a knowledge. You are not trying to be careless about the situation. Somebody called me one night and said, "Sir, this night is the last night." I said, "What is going on?" He said, if he, as he's talking to me now, his breath is stopping halfway, that he feels like he's going. I said, "Don't talk like that." Why did I make that confession to him? While he is talking, me, I'm searching my spirit. "Lord, what is this about this brother?" And I did not find any fear inside me about that case. I did not find... Have you woken up as a spiritual man before? And as you got up in the morning, you had an alarm in your spirit, a restlessness. That restlessness is a summon to engage and exercise quickly. Because you are now pulled into an arena that is not your advantage. The place you are now, you don't operate from there. And if anybody meets you there, you are weak. So a spiritual man can wake up on that kind of morning. Just a carnal man will say, why my mind just a beat this morning and he's boiling water forever. He is not intelligent. Meanwhile, spirits have initiated all kinds of traffic while you are not conscious, while you were sleeping. They drag your feet to an arena where fear masters. Anything that meets you there will master you. The Bible says he made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Meaning both the day and the night have light. The night have a light called lesser light. The day have a light called greater light. But both lights are rulers. It says the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. So if you find yourself in the night already has a ruler. The moment you come into the night, the ruler of the night becomes your Lord. So the only option you have as a believer is where you journey into. If you enter under the light, you will stay under the greater light that rules the day. If you enter into the night, you will be under the lesser light that rules the night. So you cannot choose a ruler. You can only choose which economy you wandered into. If you journeyed into darkness, the lesser light will rule you. That's the same way. You cannot choose by... Your choice is to choose either you walk by faith or you walk in fear. But if you walk by faith, you will naturally see the hand of God. Naturally. It is not your role to be begging God and say, "Lord, just this one last time, prove to me and I will never doubt you again." Somebody told God to test him. Say, "Lord, try me. I know you think I'm not ready for money, but try me and see." try me. Meanwhile, God is not restrained and he's not constrained by the realities that makes for our own form of existence. God does not need to take you through something to know what you will do. As he's looking at you, he has seen all the shapes of your possible behaviors in all forms of circumstance. It is clear before him. There are prayer points you are raising now and saying, "Lord, I promise you I'll be a kingdom financier." Before you say financier, the eternal realm will add wealth to your reality and see what your walking step changed first. They saw it. They now saw that water can no longer quench your thirst. It's good now that you were into. In fact, while you were praying, that's when they saw all these things. That is the proclivities that were locking up inside you. They already knew who you are. They don't need to try you. So, as somebody is saying, "Lord, can you just increase my substance?" Before he says substance, they saw, you know, that foam that used to be on Star. Eh? They saw foam on his mustache like this. One and shaking it. Jesus says, "I have many things to release to you, many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear it." So the challenge is capacity to receive what we are asking for. We don't have it. Have you been with a friend before and there was something in their device, maybe a sound or a video, and you were interested in it and you told them, send it to me, and your friend was willing to send, but the challenge is that your own phone told you memory space not sufficient. That's the challenge with receiving from God. The things we ask for, we don't have the space to collect it. Sometimes, in order to stretch your capacity, God will need to delete. That's what you do to your phone too. You will delete some junks. Deleting process is painful. You see, the answer to some prayer points is deleting some things. Because before this thing will enter, we need space. And to create space, you must delete. When deleting starts, you might start crying and saying, Lord, why? The more I'm praying, the more my life is scattering. It's not scattering. They are only making space. Many things I have to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Take another minute and pray wherever you are. Lord, stretch me, increase my capacity. Lord, you know me. My days are in your hands. Try me. Search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. The psalmist said, then lead me in the way everlasting. He's saying, I submit myself for analysis. Check if there is anything resisting my prayers. If there is anything stopping you from opening the door I am asking you to open. I give you permission to clear everything that's a stumbling block out of my life. There are tendencies of fear, tendencies of pride, tendencies of ungodliness locking on our inside, waiting for the right atmosphere to find expression. Can somebody cry tonight, search me and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Sami haske bazansa ke koma gurindu huba nasami haske bazansa ke koma gurindu huba nasami haske bazansa ke koma gurindu huba nasami haske Zansa ke koma purindu huba haske ho writing. If you are writing, my brother, we want to embark on a journey of how to mine faith like a miner. How to dig until you touch the substance of faith. How to harness faith. The disciple says, increase our faith. Give us more faith. We have seen that the secret to what you are doing is that you carry something. You have identified the matter that is the difference between us and you as faith. So give us more faith. You don't know how detrimental a faithless life can be. Any spirit can bully you. Any spirit that meets you without having a revelation hinged on the character of God, if it's not on God, it can shake. You don't know how vulnerable it makes you. It makes you so helpless. If I ask a few of us now, randomly, I just ask somebody, why would you live long? You say, because I know that God will not allow the enemy to prosper over me. Why can't you fail? You say, because actually I try my best in anything I do, and I know that God will not allow my effort to waste like that. If I ask a believer now, is it possible to prosper in anything you do? He will say, well, there are some things that is my natural advantage, and there are other things that, you see, if you know the way of faith, faith starts first by adjusting your mind frame. Faith, the journey of faith starts first by revelation. In fact, there are points in the process of harnessing faith where the Holy Ghost is laboring on impregnating your mind with another reality of God. Faith is not actually a posture you sustain that covers for everything. The challenge is that you can have faith in God as a provider, but you don't have faith in Him as a healer. And you can find out that as far as wealth is concerned, you operate with ease, but when it comes to divine health, you struggle in that regard. It means the knowledge of God as regarding divine health, you have not subscribed to it. It is the knowledge that you subscribe to that unlocks faith in that regard. So faith is unlocked to the degree that we are open to the dimension of God. If you know this thing, before you argue with that uncle, before you say, who is it that saith it, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commands it not, you will first saturate yourself with scripture until you are not the one convincing yourself. It is your natural response. There is a way you stay with scripture. You will catch yourself meditating on it. It means your subconscious meditation, the thing that is going on in your mind subconsciously, is that scriptures are on repeat play. As you are moving like this, the way somebody can be moving and, one day I woke up on campus. I woke up early morning. I didn't know that my roommate was playing Terry G. Is it Terry G's song? Was playing it throughout the night. And me, I was unconscious sleeping, but my spirit was still partaking of that encounter. So when I got up, I found out that I was meditating on my ladies. I was hearing the thing playing inside me. Do you know that a sound can be inside you? You can hear yourself singing something, but your mouth is not moving. Now, all my ladies was playing inside. I say, where are the ladies? Where? How? How did these ladies enter here? All my ladies. If you're not careful, let me show you how powerful our mind is. Any sound that is playing inside your mind has the capacity to transport you to the energy of that sound. I've seen this one. Have you seen people in a place where there's no physical music, but they are dancing? Especially children. They have different file inside their mind. A spirit already pressed play. So they don't need any music. They don't need, they have done it. They have ascended. A brother watched pornography so much. He told me that even in the church where you should think everybody should be thinking about God, what the spirit does is that the spirit just needs one trigger. So I think that day we were having a Holy Ghost service and there was manifestation going on. The sound of a demon under oppression was a trigger for the spirit used it to press play for a video inside his heart. So although he's in the presence of God, his own iniquity is inside him now. He carries it like a hard disk. His mind is full of corruption. So even if he climbs the mountain, and his deliverance cannot be in location anymore, because as he went there with corruption. He can't run from it again. They have choked him up with it. Have you ever read where scriptures adjourn us to allow the word of God richly dwell in us? Meaning that be choked with scripture. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. So choke yourself with scripture. We pinch you. Your first response is the scripture. Because that's what you are made of. That's what you are loaded with. It is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth will speak. If you know these things, you will not be opening Bible because of, they say you will take Bible study. If you know these things, nobody will tell you to study the scripture. Because actually, what we are doing is that we are trying to resist that agenda that wants to conform us to this world. We are engaging scripture for transformation's sake. Because we were created after the image and the likeness of God. So to really discover who we are, we have to study the standard that they made us after. So in knowing God, we discover ourselves. Anything you find about God, you unlock about yourself. How to grow your faith. If you are writing, you can take that down. How to grow your faith. If you want to grow your faith, I'll be giving you a few points, but before then, you must be deliberate about the atmosphere you submit and subject your mind to. I found out that most of the things that formed my conviction are things I subconsciously picked. Most of the things you will emulate and pick are not things you will deliberately say, from today, this is how I'll be seeing this thing. The thing that you allow your mind to fellowship with regularly, you will begin to look like it. You will begin to reason like it. And so the scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In keeping with that, I want to show us a few things that will help us capitalize on this journey of faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a very popular definition. Faith is trust built on God's revealed character and promises. Faith is trust built on God's revealed character and promises. Faith is trust built on God's revealed character and promises. It means if you do not know the character of God, faith will be far from you. If you do not know the promises of God, faith will be far from you. It means if you do not even know the Lord, you don't know what to trust Him for. Faith is not blind belief. You are writing, please take these things down. Faith is not a feeling. It's not a feeling of confidence. Faith is not a feeling of boldness, although boldness is part of faith. Faith is not a feeling of confidence, although confidence is part of faith. Faith is not positive confession, although confession is part of faith. Faith is trust built on God's revealed character and promises. Seeing that we were not born naturally in the domain of faith, seeing that we all came into time broken, helplessly, under the culture of fear and under the arena of fear, how do we move from this place of disadvantage into the economy of faith that is reserved for the righteous? Number one, study the scripture. How to build your faith. Study the scripture. Studying the scripture deepens our understanding and strengthens our conviction on the things that we have apprehended in God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. The Bible says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you continue to submit yourself to the word, as you continue to yield yourself to the word, he says naturally faith will come to you. It comes by hearing. If you say, God, increase my faith, God will lead you to the word. Lord, increase my faith in you, God will recommend his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word. So it means if you must grow in faith, you must grow in your voracious study of the word. Nobody came with a deposit of faith. Everybody grew their faith. Everybody went from one realm of belief, one realm of assurance, one realm of trust in God to another. And so it is in staying with the word, it is in staying with his word that our faith is increased. In Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, the Bible says, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. The people that do know their God. How do you know your God? You study about him. How do you know your God? You read about him. The Bible is a compendium of his dealings with the patriarchs of old. In studying scriptures, we come into a diagnosis of God's character in every matter. There are things you will read in scripture, it will do something to your heart. You too, the posture of your heart is, indeed, God cannot fail. The people that don't know their God, they will be strong. Those who know you, trust in you, not in horses or chariots. By the arm of flesh, no man can prevail. No man. My confidence is you, but it's hard. It can never exist. Oh. Listen, it is okay for you to join people and be making confessions because you heard people say it. It was Job that said, I have heard of you by the saying of the book. He says, but now my eye have seen you. It is okay to be saying things because you heard somebody say it. It is okay to you to be calling God names because you have heard your pastor make that kind of presentation for years. Some people, you tell them to pray now, it starts, they have crammed it, it's memorized inside their brain. They start with, our everlasting Father, King of Kings, the Rose of Sharon, Ancient of Days. Tomorrow, wake them up again, our everlasting Father, King of Kings, Rose of Sharon, Ancient of Days. Every prayer is just to press play. If God allow crisis show you that you don't trust him, he has showed you mercy. If God allow you have feedback from time to time that you don't have faith on this matter, the way you know you don't have faith is that when the wind and the waves come, you will see how stranded you become. You will lose hope entirely. You will start living like one who has no God. So frustrated, so worried. Brother came to me. That's where I saw how secured faith can be. I was giving somebody house rent. I just gave him money now. Even as I'm giving him money, he's still in pain and sorrow. When I now say, why are you still looking so moody? He said, how can I pay next year's home? I said, wait. So your pain now is that since this one has been paid, who will pay the next one? Don't you trust God that between now and the next 12 months, something will shift in your life? This is how tormenting it is to live without faith. All you can see about yourself is what your rational mind has calculated. Say, the way Nigeria is going like this, the way things are even getting worse. They bought a land for a man. After a while, he called the person that bought the land. I said, this land that you bought for me, how are you thinking that I'm going to build it? Can you even begin to see a little glimpse of what faith is for the believer? It is faith that makes you go through storms and still wear a smile. Because inside faith, there's an assurance that though your beginning be small, your latter end shall be greatly increased. It is faith that is your consolation. That although you are seeing me in this situation now, do not rejoice over me, my enemies.
believe. Where did that belief come from? It is built on trust in the word of God that has been tested and tried. Now, it means that if you are not studying scripture deliberately, methodically, meaning you subject yourself to a classroom approach if it comes to scripture, you are studying it whether you are happy or not, you study. Whether you woke up at the wrong side of the bed, you study. Whether there was nightmare or not, you study. There is a place you come to where you who used to be fearful, you that they pursue you throughout in your dream, is running. You will realize that as you continue to grow in scripture, one day you will realize that in the dream you start standing. You now stand, you see yourself standing. It's not you that stood. It is the spirit of faith that has become one with your being, that is beginning to have a response even in your subconscious realm. From January, you are running. Somebody told me that they flogged him in the dream and he got up with a line. He said, can he show me? I said, no, don't worry. That the line is still there and that this one old woman that flogged him. I said, what? So it then means that what they want you to know is that, just in case you think you are imagining this thing, that this thing, see the proof here. We actually gave him a punishment in that realm. Now, this is exactly what happened to Solomon. When he burnt 1,000 burnt offering before the Lord, the encounter God had with him was in a dream. It was in a realm where there was no audience, no spectator. Nobody knew that Solomon has received something from God. But in the passage of time, situations and circumstances began to give the opportunity to display that there is a wisdom God has bequeathed to him that the average man does not sustain. It means there are things we receive from God in the altar of our exercise with him that no man can see yet that our life has changed. When Solomon got up from that dream, there was nothing physical on him to show that actually he has received something from God. He got up like a normal man until challenges began to come to him and they began to see the application of wisdom. This is how, as you are studying scripture, you go to it, you stand up in the morning, you don't even know that something has changed. You have no idea. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appeared before God in Zion, something is changing every time you open scripture. Actually, the antidote to sin, because the ungodliness that has enveloped this generation is alarming. The antidote to sin is the word. How can a young man keep his way pure? He says, only by meditating upon thy word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I will not sin. If you don't want to sin, internalize the word, meditate on it, stay on it. Haven't you observed that any morning that you have a rich morning devotion, that you stayed with God well in the morning, you have intense consciousness of the abiding presence of God throughout the day? And any day that you ignore your devotion for a while, 2 days, 3 days, temptation will start knocking on the door. It means the consciousness of God is your bailout system in the face of temptation. When he came for Joseph, his response is, how can I do this great wickedness against God? It means Joseph is more conscious of God than the woman who stands before him. So interacting with his word, it paints consciousness in your soul. It makes you always behold him because you are meditating on those things. The average Christian don't study the word of God. He is distracted. He wakes up in the morning and the first thing that summons him is his phone. He carries the phone and begin again. Another cycle of distraction. He sleeps with the phone like this on his hand. One day, I will not point the person here. I saw the person like this. He was pressing phone till he died. Like this. Helpless. I said, look at what Satan has done to the sons of men. You help him remove the phone from his hand. His hand was still like this. Helpless. See, if you give yourself to scriptures, you will see how your profiting will appear. As you are beholding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, for we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. It means beholding, studying scripture is a point of transaction. You are exchanging weakness for strength. you are exchanging infirmities for stature. As you are beholding, it's because we are men. If spirits look at you, they know how long you have tarried on scripture. Because if they look at you, the image of the Christus that you sustain is a proof of how long you have behold the glory. You become what you are beholding. And so if you behold long, you look more like him. And if you have not behold long enough, you will be looking far from the standard. There's a point in beholding. As you are beholding, there's a point where sickness no longer have power over you. And it's not a positive confession. You just know. You know the way you know you are born again. One day the thing will just click like a new stage of a game that you entered. Like you just played a game and burst into a new stage. I cannot die by sickness. It's not a positive confession. It must be powered by revelation. And it's a knowing that triggered it. It means every time we pray, our prayer should be an outburst of a revelation that we have captured in the corridor of meditating on his word. Meaning every time we go to the word and we are meditating, we are studying, there is a point of our study where we will apprehend something that requires us to press it with prayer. Have you not been studying, and you come to a particular verse, the verse detain you. You wanted to proceed further. He said, no, stay here. Stay. That stay means switch to prayer now. Carry this matter to the courts of the spirit. You are studying, the thing is switching. You now hit one point. The thing started stirring your spirit. Sometimes alone inside your private space, in the room, only you. You will start feeling like the air in the room is becoming dense. It's revelation. It's not prayer. It's not worship song. It's that your spirit man began to become large. He touched something about a reality of God. I don't know if this has happened to you. Have you studied scripture long enough that when you came out of the room, the space started looking strange somehow? The scripture can carry you on a journey. You can practically, if your mind can see it, you can practically live the days of Jesus on earth. You can follow him from his birth to his cross. You can follow him stage by stage. You can experience it all by journeying with scripture. When you start heading to the cross, you will now realize you too, you are one of those who crucified him. But the believer does not study, so he is weak. He does not study, so his meditation is not God. He does not study, so all other things can choke his mind up. Tonight, I give you just a minute, wherever you are. Our cry to the Lord is, fill me up with hunger for your word. Fill me up with hunger for your word, to know you, to contemplate on your essence. Thy words have I found, and I ate them. I ate them. I ate your word. Number two, another way to build your faith is prayer. In Jude chapter 1 verse 20, it says, and ye dearly beloved, building up yourself. Nobody will build you up. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you spend time praying, and I'm talking about the prayer of communion, prayer of just communicating with God, submitting yourself to his presence. Not all this, give me, we do. Prayer must not always be request. There are sessions, points in prayer, where what drove you into prayer is a point of communion you want. You wanted to interact with God. So you submitted yourself to his abiding presence. There is a place in that style of prayer where your natural feedback is faith. You entered prayer weak. At a point where you are praying, you start feeling confident. You start feeling confident. Assurance starts coming into your heart. You entered prayer with fear. You entered prayer all kinds of sorrow. You entered prayer moody. You pray in tongues, blasting the Holy Ghost for a while. Before you know it, you look for that depression. It's no more. Because actually prayer can transport you. It can, the Amplified say, rise like an edifice. It means prayer give you ascendance in the spirit. Prayer can give you heights in the spirit. It means if you are not praying, you are actually operating in an arena of disadvantage. men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is what God has ordained for every one of us if we are going to harness faith. You wake up and you are feeling very depressed, very moody, so sorrowful. You look at everything around you is looking hopeless. That's not your natural arena. The place to operate is faith. And so you switch. You don't need service to come and pray. If you cannot start the turbine by yourself, look for a sound, look for a prayer sound. Sometimes it's just instrument. Play it in your room. Loud the volume, off the lights. I'm giving you a secret so that your eye will not catch any impulse. Leave your imagination to go wild. If you have audio scripture, play it in the background. And just stay in that dark place and allow your mind to be picturing what you are hearing. As you are going, you will hit something. Something will open up that will trigger prayer burden. It says, quicken us. Then we will call upon your name. It means there is a quickening capacity that is laid up in our spiritual exercise that gives us burden to pray. I found out that every time I pray by burdens, there's a fuel it gives you. You don't stop until the burden is depleted. Every time we pray because we studied something. This is why if you are truly, truly contending for growth, you cannot ignore the study of the word. Neither can you ignore prayer. They go hand in hand. Because actually your petitions in prayer is the word of God. It is the word of God that you present back to the courts of God. We don't come in prayer and you are giving all kinds of African adage. Our people say, Pikin, we say, your mama no go sleep, himself no go sleep. I come against, you are a joker. No weapon formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. Any tongue that rises up against me in judgment. This is the word of God, but now you are saying it like it's your own. That's what prayer is supposed to be. Prayer is putting God's word in your mouth and releasing it out. There is a point in prayer. You and the word has internalized so much that it becomes your own utterance. You will even forget that is scripture you are quoting. It will be like you are saying what you believe, but everything leaving you is scriptures. The devil showed you in a dream. In the dream, you saw that people were pursuing you. Then they caught you. Then they tied you. Then they wanted to stab you. In that dream, right there in that realm of hostility, scriptures will break out. I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. 1,000 shall fall by my side. Have you ever caught yourself quoting scriptures in the spirit before? Have you seen that even before you woke up, your spirit man was engaging priesthood? It's because you have exercised your senses. See, you start these things mechanically first. Start mechanically. You must not be quickened. Start first. If you cannot read the scripture, set an alarm. If you cannot honor the alarm, ask somebody to wake you up. When you practice it, 1 week, 2 weeks, by the third week, your body itself will start adjusting to that routine. Do you know that there's a way we work in a routine so much that your biological system can become more accurate than your alarm? Sometimes 1 minute to your alarm, your body has activated itself. It's more accurate than it. In fact, yesterday I was sleeping. No, I'll not share it. There's no need. Can somebody pray for 1 minute? This one, listen. You know, I did not tell you to ask God for anything. Because somebody now, as I say pray, you just say, Lord, remember what I've always been asking you for. That is why we are not drawing faith in prayer. There is a place in prayer where the only obsession you have is God. Make yourself real to me. Reveal yourself to me. There is a point in prayer where your understanding is unfruitful. We are just gliding in tongues. The reason is because we are trying to shake off corruption. There are some morning you wake up, you don't understand your body. As a man, as a lady, you don't understand the way you are feeling. That posture is predisposing you to corruption. There is a way to shake it off. You subscribe to the altar of prayer. That kind of morning, you enter a tonic of prayer. Paka paka e shepe pepe pepe rata tata tapa e shepe pepe pepe raka e shapae shapae rata tata tay panta kapo shibarata kae rata tata tay erua. Can you hold somebody's hand and help them stir their altar up? There are altars that have been cold for a while. veil. Listen. Shake somebody by you and say, wake up. Come on, tell them again, wake up. The altars need to be engulfed by fire. He said the fire must burn upon the altar. The priest must add wood on it every morning. The fire must never go out. Shapakatailo. Bambruska pratakakai. Retetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetet
Rampoko Rapako Pakatai Zebre Tekela. Altar,
hallelujah. 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 Listen. I see that spiritual gifts will be activated in some people now. Listen. There are things you don't even know you carry. As you journey in these matters, as you contemplate on the excellent law of liberty,
as you internalize it and you release it in prayer and you prophesy the word of God, it will be that for you, over your destiny, those matters become established. So that you too can say, I shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. So that you too can say, no weapon formed or fashioned against me shall prosper, and any tongue that rises up against me is condemned. Listen, please be seated if you can. Normally I should be rounding up now, but it has pleased the Lord to bring the rain. I think it's a prophetic sign that there is something that God wants us to press further. Number three, triggers. Triggers to increase your faith. Fasting. 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 See, if you know these things, you will realize that the only person fasting is affecting is not God, it's you. What fasting does to you is that it retunes your soul. It shuts out every noise. And it makes that your one singular focus becomes the divine. Because since you have plagued your members, because of that deprivation, that denial you subjected yourself to, there was many channel of noise that was shut. Now you can see. Now your priorities are being rearranged. Now you can have more consciousness of God's abiding presence. While fasting, there is a place of fasting where boldness comes into you. You don't even know why. It's not that you have seen any encounter, not that you have received any prophetic word. Just by fasting, your soul is tuned to a place where your only conviction is the scripture. Many other things become lie. This is why a believer must live a fasted life, because that is the only way you can remain in that pedestal where your only information, your education only streams from the divine realm. Show me a man who fasts regularly. I will show you a giant of it. There are things we say when we are fasting. When you eat later, you can doubt it. Has it ever happened to you? There are statements we make on the mountain. When we come down later, you will find yourself trying to modify the statement. That's to tell you the energy you were operating while you were on the mountain. See, as a believer, I want to recommend something to you in these end times. If you can, fast every day. In fact, there are even research have shown that there are health benefits for fasting. That if you are fasting, you are not only triggering something spiritually, there are biological benefits to fasting. Fast every day. You can observe morning fast and do night fast. Eat only once a day if you can, if your faith can carry it. I have stayed on this matter for nothing less than 3 years. Stay with one meal. Keep it sometimes between 2 p.m., 3 p.m. If you eat that food, fasting starts first as a consciousness. Fasting is not hunger strike. Fasting is not just denying yourself from food. It's a consciousness of submitting yourself to contemplating on God. So the moment you are done eating that food, sustain the consciousness that I will go on a night fast. So it means from that time till the rising of the sun again, food will not enter this mouth anymore. You will see how light your night will become. You will see how active your encounters will become. They are pressing you every night. Do this thing, I'm telling you. Try it and see. And if God gives you grace, add small prayer tonic to it in the night. You know those of you that say, I don't want to pray at night. I don't want to find trouble. So that me too, they will not touch me. You will soon find out that even peaceful people, they touch them. In fact, they bully peaceful people more. The way for peace in this kingdom is violence. It's violent men that rest. It's the way of violence that is actually rest.
If you are a peaceful person, say, me, I don't want to be shouting in the night and calling the name of Jesus. I don't want to spoil anybody's meeting so that they will not. Oh, 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 oh. Chapter 30 verse 41. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. When scripture says you will renew your strength, when were you ever strong? Since they gave birth to you in this fallen system, did you come with strength? Did you come in your superior advantage? At where or at what point did you sustain your most brightest reflection? It's with God. In fact, the Bible says, forever, O God, thy word is settled, but it's settled in heaven. So it is in heaven that the best version of your identity was captured. In Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you. So you were already real in the realm before you entered time. In that place, that's where your true strength is. He says, if you wait upon the Lord, they will renew your strength. To renew means, will give you the capacity to catch up with your true identity. What you are from the studio of eternity, we will bring all the forces of advantage that came with you by default, we will fast track it into time. So it means, if you are wise, the way of speed is waiting. You wait to gain speed. See the secret in that scripture. It says, after their strength is renewed, they will mount up with wings. It means your transport mode in destiny, you will change from road to flight. It means before you waited, you were going with men on the road. All everybody were land creatures. But those who wait, they supply. The Amplifier said they will lift up their wings. If you carry your wings, your transport mode in destiny has changed. Try going from here to Lagos by road and go from here to Lagos by flight and tell me the difference. 45 minutes, you are already in Lagos. You take your bath, finish your conference, take your bath again, go back to the airport, come back to Kaduna. You are still around Lokoja. Apart from the Lokoja that you are around with potholes, with armed robbery probabilities, with kidnapping, with speed bumps, with roadblocks, with traffic. There's no traffic in the air. There's no speed bump in the air. You see all this family pattern you're talking about, that somebody's there in this family, nobody, carry your wings, leave the land. It's people who are in the land that go slow hold. That traffic is for people who journey land. The moment you evolve into the divine, you are detached from the link to that family. He has called us out of every language, every tongue, every tribe. It is a separation. Carry your wings. That's where you realize something that men tag 20 years to the reality. God can fast track it in 1 week in your life. You will wake up one day and you cannot explain what has happened to you. Even you, your mind cannot apprehend it. It's the reality of those who take flight. But you don't fly anyhow. You wait to carry your wings. You wait. Tell somebody by your side, wait upon the Lord. Tell another person, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Or did you just wake up and join the traffic? Wake up and join the bandwagon. Everybody just joining the rat race of life. A few people wait, they stay back and say, Lord, what am I here for? What do you want to do with my life? These are the subjects that comes up when we wait. As you are waiting, the Lord begins to edit your mind. It begins to fast track a consciousness of your ordination. Your area of strength begins to be magnified. Before you know it, you get up from the waiting season. You take one step, it's 10 years. Because you have mounted up with wings. Are you interested in mounting up?
Are you interested in living the land where competition and strife characterize? Are you interested in ascending into a place where global flyers, where they operate? Listen, if you are deliberate about these things, you will realize that as you give yourself to this protocol, there is a prosperity and an increase that will be visible in your life. Take a minute anywhere you are. Detain me on your altar. Detain me. Don't let me escape, Holy Ghost. Keep my feet glued. He says, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Bind the sacrifice. Some of us are too busy every time we are doing something, but we are not making progress. Can you not wait upon the Lord and find the secret of your destiny? Teach me to wait. Detain me with a burden.
We will wait until we are formed. Brothers, wait. Sisters, wait. Brothers, wait. We will wait. We will wait.
Listen, look at me. I can sense in my spirit that a lot of us don't know the import of what I just shared with you. Because you have done it so many times, it has become a routine. See, God is my witness. There are encounters you have. When you get up, even food start tasting like grass. It means that realm has the capacity to supply something in you that will sentence you to a cycle of fasting. Until the burden leaves you, you don't have peace. You eat, you start feeling guilty. It's a realm that supplies the capacity to wait. It means there is something you need to catch up with. There is a realm of transformation you need to evolve into. There is a height of ascension you need to rise into. But you cannot do that on your own. You must be quickened. Somebody's prayer this night is, Lord, trigger an encounter. Trigger something that supplies the strength to wait. Listen. Before we pray, look at me. Elijah wanted to go on this journey of waiting. Before he started the journey, they sent angels to come and feed him first. They say, Oga, we know you think you are ready for what is ahead of you. They woke him up and said, eat, for the journey ahead is far. You know what it means? Who prepared the food that they gave him? Who gave him that meal? It was the angel of the Lord. It means if they don't supply strength for you, you have no capacity to tarry to the extent that your destiny requires. The waiting that is necessary to unlock the seasons of your destiny, you cannot journey into it in the arm of the flesh. You must be fed by something. You must be fed by something. Something must give you a meal. That's what I'm asking you to cry for. Put something upon me that leaves me desperate for your presence. Detain me on the altar until that which was spoken concerning my life becomes a reality. Keep me glued to the altar. Stir me up by hunger. Stir me up with burdens. You may be seated. God bless you. We are rounding up now, but the rain is still falling. So, even if I round up now, there's nothing we can do. It's a good one. I will run through the other tributaries that makes for the increase of faith, because I just want to come and dwell on something quickly before the rain stops. The fourth protocol that increases our faith is fellowship. Fellowship. And fellowship is connection and interaction with other believers that helps to shape and sharpen your convictions. In Psalm 133 verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The next verse, quickly, verse 2. It says it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. So every time we dwell together in unity, there is a mixture of oil. Every part of the body receives a touch of that which came upon the head. So there is a corporate visitation we receive when we congregate. It is actually an advantage to congregate with the brethren. The Bible says, "Absent not thyself from the congregation of the brethren." You cannot withdraw yourself. If you do that, I watched a documentary, and I think when I traveled to one of the South African nations, we had the opportunity to see wildlife in their natural habitats. I saw how lions hunt. I saw that when a herd of animals are feeding, what the lion does is that when it is within range of his pursuit, it will roar. When he roars, the herd will be thrown into pandemonium. Everybody will start running in different directions. While people are running, the lion will start looking at the weakest. The weakest means the person who was not running in the direction of the herd, the one who isolated himself. That isolation is all they need. Sometimes they will be running towards the herd, waiting for one to just mistakenly disconnect from that journey that everybody is making. This is how Satan also hunts. He says he goeth about like a roaring lion, looking for who to devour. It means if you withdraw yourself from the assembly of God's people, you become a victim cheaply. Satan identifies you easily when you are not associated with a company of like-minded believers. And this is why people that separate themselves from fellowship are quick to fall. They are quick to come down with one compromise or another. Look at the case most of the time. When you are looking for a brother and you don't see him for a while, go and check. He has accommodated iniquity. The first lecture Adam missed, the first lecture he missed in Eden, it was because he sinned. Sin always creates an occasion to withdraw from God, to separate from God. When Satan wants to destroy you, he begins to orchestrate the necessary platform for offense.
You just find out that you start feeling like, after all, I can sit at home and know God for myself. After all, I can open the Bible and read for myself. After all, I can sit at home and connect online. When you are, see, let me tell you these things. If you have the opportunity to congregate with brethren, it's an advantage. Two is better than one. In fact, the scripture says, woe is he who is alone. Woe means curse. Is he who is alone in the day of war. When battles come, there's nobody that fights for you. When you are weak and you are weak alone, nobody strengthens you. You are cold, nobody hits you up. When your altar is dying, nobody picks the signal. What a life. The fifth way to build your faith is meditation. I think I've gone over this over and over again at the explanation of the different other points. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. The moment you begin to meditate on the word of God, the next sentence says, to observe, to do. To observe. So once you start meditating, doing becomes your natural way. What you start meditating on it, you start doing it. Once you start meditating on the scripture, doing the scripture becomes normal to you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. It is during this season of meditation, that's where the Holy Ghost restores your soul. You have read in Psalm 23, he restored my soul. The restoration of soul happens by still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. The water there is actually significant of scripture. Still waters is a point of meditation. That's where you internalize scripture. Scripture becomes your reason, your thoughts. It becomes your subconscious contemplation. That's where the fracture in your soul is being molded. That's where circumcision happens. That's where he sanctifies you through his truth. And that truth is his word. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It begins to replace the patterns. It replaces the inspiration. It replaces the exposure to corruption that has choked our mind. As we stay by still waters, meditate on scriptures. Meditation is deliberate. You deliberately set time to meditate. Internalize scriptures. Stay on it. Catch yourself thinking useless things. Force that thing out. Carry scripture. Put there. Force yourself to stay on scripture. Do you know you can force the direction of your thoughts? You can choose to withdraw your thoughts from a distraction. Gaze, put your gaze on scripture. I want to introduce something, that's why I've tried to run through this matter. If you don't have periods of deliberate meditation, points where you set aside to contemplate on scriptures, to contemplate on the beauties of God, to look back at his faithfulness, sometimes you don't need to think long. As you just remembered how confused you were last year, not knowing where your next intervention will come from. But look at how that matter was solved. You don't even know how God quickened it. Suddenly, faith is built. You know how the faith comes? It came from the knowledge that the God who did this one without my own impute is able. This is why when David appeared before Goliath, when Goliath threatened him, he said, the God that gave me the bear, the God that gave me the lion, he will deliver you, uncircumcised Philistine, into my hand. What is in his front is discouraging, but the only place he can summon faith from is to think backward and remember the things God delivered him from. However, what is before you now is a threat. Think backward. That's what meditation does for you. Put out time, separate time. Think about that night where you didn't think you'll see the next day. And remember now that look at you in the land of the living. Suddenly faith is dead. if the devil could not cut my life that night, it means God sits on the throne of my life. Something is triggered in your soul when you look back at all the battles you have fought and have come out of it without scratch by the faithfulness of God. You will know that you are not the one keeping yourself. Suddenly, confidence is built. It's what meditation gives to you. Meditation also increases your consciousness of God. Meditation. You stay in scriptures. Somebody comes and distracts you with one gist. As the person leaves, force your mind back to scripture. Stay there. If you know the nonsense that goes on in our mind at a regular, if you are with me, say amen. Do you agree with me that you are always thinking about something? Since you are always going to think, why don't you choose what to think about? You are always thinking from morning to night, believe me. There's always something happening in your mind. There's always something in your mind. And if you carry all your thoughts in a day to the lab, you'll find out that 98% of the thought is nonsense. There are times if you are a man who is if you are a sinner here, you don't know what I'm talking about. You cannot hear the stillness of your heart. You are restless. The people who can pick this sound I'm talking about, they're supposed to be a place where a melody is on a default for a believer. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and the dealings you had with God, the echo of the worship of that realm is still inside your soul. You can pick it. There are moments where as you woke up, there's a sound inside you. All the sound wants is for you to just join it. Join that procession of worship. And a realm will envelop you. What you entered is the current worship procession going on. When you raise that song on that day, it will be so special. It will break you. Wait until the window closes. Sing the song, it will be dry. And it's a sign that it's a realm that invited you. Come, join us. The sound is in your spirit. If you echo it, if you can echo it, you join. So there are moments we set apart to worship. This is the seventh way to build your faith. We set deliberate moments of worship. I'm not talking listening to song alone. I'm talking participating in the worship of Elohim. Calling him names. There are times you wake up and there's a sound. It's not like it's a song. You don't know the song, but there's a sound that is in your spirit. You give it lyrics. Give it lyrics. They want to bet something through you. They want you to be a part of those who chronicled the worship of the Great One. If you know where worship can transport you to, you will not believe. There are places in worship where everything fades. Everything. Everything fades. There is a peace you enter in its space in worship. If you can remain in that realm perpetually, you will wish you never come back. Everything becomes still. Are you conscious of the music and melodies in your soul? Do you pick it? These are channels where faith is built. Let's bow our heads quickly. In my life, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, be glorified, be glorified. And in my life, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, be glorified, be glorified. You get the glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just wanna say thank you. You get the glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just wanna say thank you. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. We're about to pray now. Luke chapter 8, verse 43.
Kai abun da kaka so da ni Nina kane kamar da ni kayan aikin ka Kai abun da kaka so da ni Nina kane
Everybody, please. This is the height of our convergence tonight. Let's read as loud as we can. One, two, go. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Next verse. Please stay with me. Be quick. And touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood is stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Please tell the person by your side, who touched me? Come on, say it again like you mean it. Who touched me? Hear what Peter said. Jesus said, who touched me? When everybody denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged him. A crowd is around us, pressing us. And you are saying, who touched you? Can you not see my own body touching you now? All of us are in a public place. A crowd is choking. We are literally trying to squeeze our way out. And you are talking about somebody touch you. Is everybody not touching everybody now like this? Who touched me? I took a journey to show you what faith does for a person. You can only touch God by faith. It is through faith you touch him. Everybody is having contact, but faith touch. There's a difference between touch and contact. You know, our body can be together, but we have not aligned in the spirit. We can be together physically, but we don't stand from the same realm of reality. Jesus said, who touched me? Meanwhile, the only way we can now know what this... Let's read to verse 48 so that I will not just talk. And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Somebody touched me. And the woman saw that she was not healed. She came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, how she was healed immediately. Remember what she said? If I may but just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. On what ground did she have that confidence? She has heard of the tales of the mighty things God has been doing through him. She has heard of the many groundbreaking signs and wonders God has wrought through his hand. And because of that knowledge, there was an expectation that was built. That expectation distinguished her own contact from every other person's contact. Why everybody were jamming body with Jesus? I can promise you, there were many other sick people in that multitude that didn't take their healing. One person came with something called faith. And because of faith, faith does not need the permission of the person who carries the anointing. Faith can withdraw without their permission. See, if I show you how implicative faith can be, if a person comes into this hall with a burning faith for a particular matter, he can tilt the service through his faith. His faith will affect the minister. The minister will not know why he begins to delve into some emphasis that is totally foreign to his preparation. It's somebody's faith that refused to go home without an address. In other words, you are at the mercy of the level of your faith when it comes to the matter of encounter with God. If there is no faith, you will be a spectator. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Another one came to Jesus on a certain day and said, Master, I don't need you to follow me to my house. Stay from where you are now. Just talk. Talk. Meanwhile, Jesus was talking with another person by the pool. Would you want to be healed? He started narrating his family problems. Another person said, I know that if you send your words, if you can speak, this matter will be addressed. Another person is Jesus that was trying to convince him that, do you want me to heal you? He started saying, oh, I don't have anybody. The truth is that it's not like I am lazy in this place. Me too, I want to be healed myself too. For one kiss. Be healed. Another one, no contact. Jesus looked at her and said, thy faith has made thee whole. Meaning, your faith has secured your deliverance. Meaning, your deliverance was not hinged on the possibility of having one-on-one interaction with me. You have found a way that you can assess this matter without gaining my attention. Do you know that Jesus can be quiet knowing that somebody has cashed out on healing? Somebody else withdrew healing and he will just walk and pass. He needed to establish a teaching with what happened. That's why he brought the matter out. The woman, to show you that the transaction does not need Jesus' attention to happen, the moment she touched the garment, the blood ceased. It has ceased already. Now, imagine how we enter the presence of God. Just imagine and see. We come with doubt, come with unbelief, come with fear, come with all kinds of posture that antagonizes the protocol of his presence. But these are the people that can touch him. Those who sustain expectation. The expectation will make that you cannot go back the same. It's impossible. Many are spectators. Only few came to touch him. That's why when you see worship going on, you see somebody stay like this. He pocket his hand like this. He's busy looking, analyzing the way they held the mic, looking at the light, which light is supposed to on, looking at, he's not here to touch. At the end of the service, the way Jesus spoke in this scripture, also, a few people would have touched something and left with tangible proof of intervention and transformation. While others, they are in the multitude, arguing that, are we not all together? Is everybody not joining body? Why are you asking who touched me? They don't know that there are touch and there is touch. Would you touch the Lord tonight? To touch the Lord is a shape of your heart. It's an angulation of your heart. There is a shape your heart must assume if you will touch him. It means you did not come to be a part of the multitude. You didn't come to spectate. You did not come to be a part of the number. You didn't come to see what will happen. You came with definite expectation. Say, surely there is an end. And the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Come with expectation. Who touched me? Would you touch the Lord tonight? And there's one way to touch him. Your heart must be set aright. Your demand must be singular. Your attention must be galvanized in that direction. We are not talking about you are just there so distracted by everything. See, there is a way you come to the presence and then somebody is trying to gist with you. You just know that guy. I hope you know it's not the same thing that's worrying us. The other day I was in a meeting and Satan sent one of his sons. So the guy sat near me. We're talking. Small thing, the guy would he would talk to me by my leg and try to crack a joke. The first joke was dry. Second joke was dry. The third joke started provoking me. So I knew that guy. This guy, I don't know why you felt it's the right time to crack joke when the message was going on. Meanwhile, he's one of the senior ministers that came into town that all of us went as a young generation to go and glean. By the fourth time, he now did like this. As one day we talk, I said, please, please. Please, I came here to be blessed. I wanted to tell him that, but I don't know you before. You see those kind of people, they immediately service end, you will not see them again. But the real thing that they wanted is to make sure the moment of transition, you missed it. People who will touch him, their eye will be gleaming. Aye, Elijah told Elisha, wait small here, yeah? Just small. I'll be back. Say, God forbid, let me. Me, I should leave you. I will never. You know why? He knew that God was about to take the master. And the master even still tried to deceive him. So you just wait briefly here. Let me just go yonder. He said, no. With all due respect, sir, I honor you. Are you willing to touch the Lord? It means your heart burns with one expectation. Like Jabez, you appeared before him with one singular petition. Oh, that thou will bless me and change my course. One singular petition. You came before him, Lord. I know you are a healer. Tonight, I leave behind every infirmity, everything that does not add glory to my life. I lay it down. When we start praying, you enter prayer with that posture. That posture. I came for an assignment. I came to exchange weakness for strength. I came to touch the favor of God. That's how you touch him. Your heart carries your expectation singularly. It removes you from distraction. You keep your gaze like a flint. Can we bow our heads wherever we are? As different as our faces look, that's how our desires and our needs are. So go ahead and make your petitions known to the Lord. Go ahead and register your need. Lord, visit me. Visit me. Take away this reproach. Take away this shame. Take away this shame. Take it away. Visit me, oh God, visit me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Where is that disease? Hey, that won't obey the name. The chains of Egypt's jail cannot disobey the name. Where is that disease? Hey, that won't obey the name. The bars of Egypt's jail, hey, cannot disobey the name. Lord, I believe that there's nothing you cannot do. I believe that sicknesses does not belong in my body. I believe that stagnation can be blotted away from my life. I believe that favor can rest upon me.
Change the future.
Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. Are you praying where you are? Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. When the arm of flesh will fail them, we will still be standing strong, cause we trust in the name of our God.
Masoyina, doming kaunar ka, suagarini. Menenes dampa ka, may chetona.
Listen, what I read to you now is the last thing I want to leave with you. He says, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. So it means your faith can intervene for you. Your own faith, oh. Your faith can create your change. Your faith can change your seasons. Your faith can open a new possibility. Your faith can intervene for you. Your faith, not your man of God's faith, thy faith has made thee whole. Somebody don't have to believe God for you. You can interact. Your faith can occasion your own intervention. Your faith can engender your healing. Your faith. I want you to reach out with your faith now. You, your own faith, wherever you are. Reach out.
Your word for me today. My faith reaches out to you. Lord, I believe your word for me today. My faith reaches out to you. I believe your word for me today.
I give you 5 minutes. Engage with your faith now. Engage with your faith. Your faith.
I believe your...
It's not every time you shout amen. There are days where you set the whole thing in motion. I refuse to accept that this is how my life has turned out. I refuse it. That's how to set your faith in motion. I refuse to accept that the business cannot be better. I refuse to accept the report that the nation's economy is the reason why I cannot prosper. I refuse. Your faith is coming alive. I refuse the report that the sickness is incurable. I refuse. You can go ahead and start prophesying now, my brother. Start prophesying. Faith speaks. It speaks. Faith speaks.
Trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the
Others trust in their kings, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on holy mountain. We will never be afraid. We've got to fix to be. We've got to fix to be forever.
Prophesying, don't be quiet now. Be speaking, be speaking, be speaking. Say unto that mountain, say unto that mountain, say unto that mountain.
Oh, yeah.
The mountain, speak, and thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established.
Focus. Keep your eyes chained on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't you lose focus. Oh, keep your eyes chained on. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith, thy faith, thy faith. Give me substance, give me proofs, give me presence, give me you,
give me substance, give me proofs, give me presence. Let it show that I met with you.
Show that I met with you.
Let it 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 show that I met with you.
Hallelujah. 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 Stir yourself up regularly. Stir yourself up regularly. There are days where gloominess comes on you. Look for a quiet place. Shout! I understudied the life of David and I saw that the man mastered the way to encourage himself. He talks to himself. He will be talking to his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Trust in the Lord. And David encouraged himself. Listen, listen. The moment I saw thy faith has made thee whole, I realized that an anointed man does not have to show up. Yeah, your faith can reach out. Your faith can reach out. You can reach out from wherever you are. And you will see the very intervention of God.
Transformation is sure by the word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us at 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anakazopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.